camp sacrifice. The infamous Donner Party set out for California in 1846 with about 20 wagons with numerous possessions. After taking the untested Hastings Cutoff in Utah, which promised a shortcut but provided much longer and much more difficult, the group lost time. They lost many of their animals. And on the Great Lakes Salt Desert and later in the Sierra Nevada Mountains, they had to get rid of nearly all of their possessions except for the bare essentials. Many wagons and valuable supplies were left behind as the harsh winter descended. This was not necessarily a sentimental choice, but it was a desperate necessity. Even well-intentioned pioneers who wanted to bring bulky or large household items found that they could not transport them all the way west. Many immigrants sold or abandoned items like furniture or larger tools and surplus goods at trailheads and early waypoints because covered wagons only offered about 80 square feet of storage, and they could only bring the bare essentials. And if they were going to have any hope of traversing the rugged mountains during the brutal winter months, then they would have to lay some of these things aside. On the Mormon Trail, particularly in the Willie and Martin Handcart Company in 1856, the immigrants pulled their entire possessions and hand-pulled carts. But because the carts couldn't carry heavy loads and winter many times came earlier than what they thought it would, many families had to discard supplies and heavy coats or bedding to lighten the burden in an attempt to keep forging ahead. During these trips, overpacking was common, but often it had to be reversed as reality began to set in quickly. An entry in one of the pioneers' diaries reads like this. He said, "We took our crackers out of the barrels and put them in sacks to save weight. Perkins listed 300 pounds of supplies that we were leaving behind, selling it all for $5 to a ferryman. We shall have to do without most of the little comforts and luxuries on which we thought were so necessary." Another traveler wrote, "We had two wagons loaded with provisions. Everything in that line was brought that we could think of. We even took a cooking stove, which never had a fire in it and was destined to never have one, as we discarded it in the desert. Certainly no family ever started across the plain with more provisions, and yet we reached California almost destitute and nearly out of clothing." Archaeological and narrative records confirm that these jettisoned good piles became so common that fellow travelers could navigate the route west simply by following the string of old dumps just by sight, one by one, down the trail. One interesting discovery came after a massive avalanche on a high mountain pass. After the snow started to thaw in the warmth of the lower altitude, the remains of an old upright piano began to appear amongst the snow and the ice and the rubble and rocks. Somewhere high on the mountain pass, somebody was faced with the decision, "Is carrying the weight of what seems so valuable to me, carrying the weight of what seems of so much worth in my life, this important, or am I just going to have to leave it behind?" Someone on their way to their new life, a new beginning, a new frontier, had decided that there were some things that were just not worth carrying anymore. In the beginning, those things seemed so important. When they started out, those things seemed so precious to them. And then they thought that they could make it to their destination while carrying the weight of everything that they deemed valuable or maybe even profitable. But finally, they had to decide to just let some things go. My prayer today is that somewhere along the rows of these pews, or maybe in a few minutes up in this altar, or possibly in the next few days in the secrecy of a prayer closet, there will be another upright avalanche. And those that are making their way to a new frontier in God, those that have set out to a higher calling, those that are in search of a destination of purpose and of power and a new place of anointing, will begin to realize that there are going to be some things that I'm carrying that seem so important to me right now. They're going to keep me from reaching my goal. They're going to delay me, or they're going to distract me from arriving at the destination that God has intended for me. Mark chapter 8 verse 36 says, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?" It's a rhetorical question from Jesus, meaning that gaining all earthly treasures and power and fame is worthless if it costs a person their eternal life or their spiritual connection with God. No amount of wealth, no amount of fame or pleasure or power is worth falling short of that new frontier in Him. No hobby, no relationship, whatever it is that you're carrying, you better lay it down today, or you'll never reach the goal that God has placed in front of you. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing that we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." The opening of Hebrews chapter 12 is pointing back to the previous chapter, Hebrews 11, a chapter listing the Old Testament figures who lived by faith, who endured hardships and persecution, and yet contending and continuing in the faith. This great crowd of witnesses refers to the countless faithful individuals like Abel, like Abraham and Sarah and all the others who by their lives testify to the power and the reality of faith, and they encourage believers to persevere in this Christian race. The Greek word here for witnesses can also be translated into testifier. Those that have gone before would testify that the promise is worth the price. I've come to tell somebody today, just to, like these lists of the heroes of the faith, that the promise that God has intended for our lives is worth the price that we're going to have to pay. So keep pressing and keep pushing. Don't stop short of the goal. I appreciate the remarks that Brother Mike McBride made at the very onset of this service. He said, "We're in a new year. We're at a new time." For whatever reason, I guess it just makes sense. It's the year starting new, so we make those resolutions. We decide now's a good time to make a new start, and that's cool, and it makes sense. I mean, why do it in October? I don't know. So we've got this new year ahead of us. And the whole world decides, okay, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to jumpstart things. And, you know, God didn't intend for you to just sit still. I've come to tell somebody today, God did not intend for you to just stay where you are. But God called you to run. God called you to move forward. He's called you to reach a higher destination. Can somebody say amen? I said, God is calling somebody to step into a new anointing. Can somebody say amen? God is calling somebody to step into a new ministry. God didn't call for you to just stay put, stay where you're at. We're in a moment at the turn of the new year that is pivotal to our personal progress, and it is pivotal to the advancement of even this church as a whole, this church's spiritual influence in our city and around the world. But Hebrews tells us something crucial. It says you cannot travel effectively if you're carrying too much. Hear me today. Paul doesn't simply assert that we should lay aside sin only, but he says, lay aside every weight and sin. We know it, but I feel like God is wanting to remind us today that not everything that weighs us down is sinful, but everything that weighs you down will eventually slow you down and strain you and stop you from being what God has called you to be. I didn't come to beat anybody up today, but I've come to try to encourage you. I didn't come to just preach to the sinner, but I've come to preach to somebody and let you know that you're not stuck where you are because you don't love God enough. God's trying to remind us today that we're stuck where we are because we're just carrying too much. One particular theme that we find repeated throughout the Bible is that before God elevates, he separates. You find it over and over in the scripture. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, God tells Abraham, get thee out of thy country and away from thy kindred and out of your father's house. He said, you need to separate. I'm going to elevate you. I've got something for you. I've got something greater. I've got a destination for you. You keep reading, you find out and you see what God is doing. But before it happens, he says, you need to get out from where you are if I'm going to do something with you. God couldn't take Abraham into the promise while Abraham was sitting in the familiar. Can I tell somebody today that you can't carry your old life into your new calling? Oh, you're not hearing me. I said, you can't carry the old things of your life to that place that God is wanting to bring you. There is something new on the horizon for Heaven View. There is something new on the horizon for every individual that is in this place today. Or maybe you're watching online, and I've come to tell you in the Holy Ghost that you can't carry your old life into your new calling. In Genesis chapter 19, God sent angels to pull Lot out of Sodom before judgment fell. Why? Because God won't bless what he's about to burn. Some places, some habits, some relationships, some influences, they must be left behind, not because God is cruel, but because God is protective. And he knows if I'm going to burn those things up, if I'm going to unroot some of those things, then I want to give you a chance to separate them because I'm protective of you and I don't want you to be destroyed. And if I'm going to burn these things up, then I need you to separate yourself. If I'm going to purge sin and I'm going to purge destruction and I'm going to purge what's going to destroy you, then I need you to step away. God tells us you got to leave some of those things behind because they're going to destroy you. Some things are just, they're just too heavy to carry where he's taking us. There's going to have to be some idols in our lives that are going to have to be broken down. Pastor's begun a series in our midweek Bible study Wednesday nights. If you missed it, go back and listen. I urge you, do everything you got to do to be here Wednesday night to hear it. God's propelling us. God is launching us to a new place. It's obvious that the Holy Ghost is trying to get our attention. God's trying to warn us that these idols that we're trying to travel with, they're just too heavy. You can't take them with you. They're not going to fit in that wagon of anointing. There's no place for them in that wagon of ministry and calling. In Judges chapter 6, before Gideon fought Midian, God told him, throw down the altar of Baal and cut down the grove that's by it. Gideon wanted victory, but God said, first, you need to tear down what competes with me. It may not always be sin. It just might be in competition with the Spirit of God. It may not always just be some kind of some crazy sin, but it just might be a weight that is competing for our attention. It's competing for our time. And God is saying, I'm trying to do something in you. I'm trying to anoint you. I'm trying to bless you. I'm trying to elevate you. And he's saying, I need some time with you. I need you to focus on me. But we're so focused on this other stuff. Not always sin. It's not always some major issue. It could just be a distraction. And God tells Gideon, I want you to remove what is competing with me. Some people want deliverance, but they still have altars to these idols in their heart. Some want a breakthrough, but they won't break down what God hates. And you've got to know today that before you have a breakthrough, you're going to have a breakdown. I've come to preach to somebody today and say God is showing you some things that he wants you to break down in your life. God is showing you some things that he wants you to separate from in your life because he's calling you to greater things. He's calling you to a higher place than you are at right now. He's calling you to a mighty anointing. He's wanting you to step into great ministry. And he's saying, you got to break some stuff down if I'm going to get you where I want you to go. I wish somebody would worship him right now. God says, I've got anointing for you. But we look around and we just don't have room in our wagons for the mic for anointing. God, I don't have any room in my wagon for ministry. I don't have any room in my wagon for this calling. God said, you better break some things down. You better break some things down. In 2 Kings 18, 3 and 4, it tells us that Hezekiah removed the high places. And he broke the images and he cut down the groves. 2 Kings chapter 23, we see that Josiah didn't just preach against idols. I said he didn't just say, well, I believe it. I believe what the prophet said. Pastor, I'm in full agreement. But then we don't empty anything out of our wagon. But we find it in chapter 23. He didn't just take them down, but he crushed them. He burned them and he ground them to powder. You know, the Bible calls some of these idols weights and sin, but sometimes we call them relationships. The Bible kind of puts it in this category of weight and sin, but sometimes we call it promotions, opportunities. You can call it whatever you want, but weight is weight and sin is sin. You know, I can call myself Big Bone. I can say, well, I'm a little husky. But weight is weight and sin is sin. And you can call it anything you want. But God is saying it's time that you empty some of these things out of your wagon because you're going to be left behind and you're going to die on this mountain pass and you're never going to get to the place that I've called you to be. Come on, I'm talking to every seasoned saint and I'm talking to every vile sinner that maybe has stepped foot in this place today. It may be the first time you ever came into a church service and I don't care what level you're at. God isn't calling us all to the same level, but he's saying wherever you are, I'm trying to take you up. Whatever level you're at, I'm trying to push you to the next level and there's going to be some things that you're just going to have to lay down. You can dress it up, you can clean it up, you can make it sound good, but revival doesn't happen when sin is renamed. Revival happens when sin is removed. God doesn't want us to decorate our sin. He wants us to destroy our sin. Hebrews 12, 1 makes a clear distinction. Weights are the things that slow you down, and sin is the stuff that traps you. Some of you aren't in bondage today. You're just overloaded. These pioneers on the trail had to abandon furniture, trunks, even family heirlooms, not because those items were evil. It was just because they were too heavy. They were just too heavy. Some of us are carrying offenses, regrets, relationships, identities, habits, mindsets. But none of this fits in where God's trying to take you. None of this fits in the wagon that God's trying to fill with anointing and burden and calling. Let me tell you something. I've been there before. And, you know, God, he kind of keeps me in a place where he deals with me pretty regular. I wish this was just a one and done, but unfortunately, I'm too thick-headed to realize it. And I lay stuff down, but then I pick other stuff back up. I'm a little bit of a hoarder. You know, I'm just picking stuff up all the time. And God said, no, I want you to lay that down. I said, but God, look how nice this is. I could use this. Like my father had a garage full of stuff that he never touched, but every bit of it was important. Every piece of cardboard, every one of those 490 screwdrivers that were all the same size, every one of them were going to have a purpose. You know, sometimes I do that in my walk with God. And God said, no, you need to lay it down. I said, well, God, what is this hurting? This isn't a sin. Who is this hurting? And God said, you just don't have room for this where I'm wanting to take you. You're just not going to be able to carry this and carry the burden that I'm going to place on your life for a specific calling and for a specific whatever it is. You plug it in, whatever shoe fits, you put it on today. You know, some of you are struggling because there's things that you don't want to let go, and you've convinced yourself that it's okay because you're right. You've convinced yourself that you can bear this weight because you're right. And I've been there before. I have literally almost lost out on my calling because I was absolutely sure that I was right and they were wrong. And I wasn't willing to lay it down because I was convinced I'm right. And God said, you better lay it down. I said, but God, lay it down. I'm right. God, I'm right. They're wrong. And God began to show me that the reason why that it was destroying me is not because, now be careful, hear me. Hear me today. There's one of these weights that it destroys us, not because we want so much for everybody to know that I'm right. It was because I wanted everybody to know that they were wrong. And God said, you better lay that down because I can't use you. That's too much of a weight. That's too much of a burden. It's a waste of space and it's a waste of time. Even though you may be right, you're not willing to let it go, and you're carrying this weight, and you're carrying this bitterness, and you're carrying this anger, and you're carrying this frustration. You plug in the blank, whatever it is, you're carrying it, and you have convinced yourself that this is so valuable to your identity, and this is so valuable to your future, and this is so valuable to what is happening in your life right now. And God is saying there's no room for it, and you'll never make it if you keep carrying this. So lay it down. Lay it down. It's time to lay some things down today. Let me say this. One of the heaviest things that you can carry is yesterday. Your yesterdays will weigh you down like hardly anything else. That's why Paul wrote to those believers in Philippians, forget the things that are behind and press toward the mark. Why? Because yesterday is heavy. Yesterday will keep you from tomorrow. Yesterday will keep you from the future. He said, forget the things that are behind and push toward the place of promise and persist until you obtain the prize. In fact, Jesus took it so seriously that he said in Mark 9:43, if your hand offends you, cut it off. Well, preacher, that's pretty heavy duty. I'm just reading the Bible. The Bible's pretty heavy duty. He said, if it offends you, if it's keeping you from being saved, if it's keeping you from being used, if it's keeping you from being anointed, if it's keeping you from progressing, then cut it off. Lay it down. Lay it aside. Because it's better to lose what slows you than to lose where you're going. Hear me today, Heaven View. It's better to lose what you deem so valuable in your life and trade it in for what God deems valuable in his kingdom. And accomplish everything that he's called you to accomplish. And achieve the ministries and the callings that he has called for to place on your life. The musicians would come. You can stand with me. I'm going to hurry to a close. The saints in the early church made this kind of bold declaration. In Acts 19:19, we find the people in Ephesus. It says they burned the books of magic and sorcery as a public and a radical demonstration of their new faith in Jesus, showing that they renounced their sinful past. They didn't sell them. They didn't keep them. But they burned them. Because many times revival requires removal. Revival requires removal. First, we must remove the weight and the sin. Then we've got to remove ourselves from that place and move forward. Paul didn't say that it was enough to just set aside every weight and sin. It wasn't enough to just lay it down. He said, lay it down and run. After you set it aside, run. Do you know how many times I've laid things at this altar? Do you know how many times I've laid the same exact thing at this altar? Do you know how many times, Brother Mark, that I have laid the same things down in a prayer room? The same thing. Then I pick it up again. I put it down. Then I pick it up. Then a couple weeks later, God begins to condemn some of those things. I begin to feel convicted again, and I get in a red hot service, or I get in a powerful prayer meeting, and I come back and say, all right, I'm putting it down, God. I'm laying it down at your feet, God. And then things cool off a little bit, and I pick it back up again. And then I lay them down, and then I pick them up. And then Pastor preaches about distractions and priorities, and I lay them down, and then a few days later, a few weeks later, a few months later, I pick them up again. We find Paul saying it in Philippians 13:14. He said, first I leave the things of yesterday behind. He said, and then I press. I'm telling somebody today, it's not enough to just lay it down, but then you've got to press forward. You've got to move on. You've got to move forward. You've got to progress under the power of the Holy Ghost. Forget the things that are behind and then press. Lay down weight and sin and then run. It's time we start leaving piles of discarded weights and sins behind us. But it's also time for us to press forward, to move forward. I'm urging somebody today. I'm urging somebody today. This isn't just about making our lives difficult. This isn't a sermon just about sacrifice. I'll preach about that another Sunday, but that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about reaching the goal that God has set before us. It's not enough to stay where we're at. Because if you stay by that pile of discarded goods, if you sit by that pile of distractions, you'll just pick it right back up again. And so God is calling us at the beginning of this new year to push forward. Don't just lay it down, but push forward. Don't just set it aside. Don't just forget about it, but run into his presence. Let's leave a trail of weights and sins. So those that are following behind us can follow and they can find their way to a new frontier of blessing, a new place of power, a new place of anointing. Let today be the day that someone has the realization that they're never going to get their old life over that mountain. Never going to get those old habits over that hill. Never going to get those old idols and those old hang-ups and those old weights to that place of anointing, that place of power, that place of strength that God is calling us to. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, you need to repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repentance is laying down that weight in sin. It literally means to turn around, to turn away, to have a complete change of direction. And baptism is having those sins washed away like that upright avalanche. And then he promised that he would fill you with the Holy Ghost. Is there anybody here today that is ready to lay something down? Is there anybody here today that is ready to put some things aside and move forward in this new year? Move forward into anointing. Move forward into power. Move forward into calling. This altar isn't a place of shame today, but it's a place of freedom. It's a launching pad. So why don't you come as they begin to sing, as they begin to play. Come and lay down some weights. Come and tear down some idols. Come and release the past so that you can experience your future in Him. But then don't stop there. So once you lay it down, don't stop there, but begin to run. Begin to run into His presence. Begin to run towards His anointing. Begin to run toward His power. Let's run with power of the Holy Ghost until we're so far from those burdens that we'll never pick them up again. Come on, let's lay them down, and then let's press. Let's repent, and then let's press. Let's repent and then let's push. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
I surrender.
Come on, somebody, begin to pray. God, show me. God, lead me.